We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Saturday. Some Texans were taking Saturday as a loss. I don't look at it that way. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Texans need a quarterback. Deshaun Watson not walking through that door at any time. And on Saturday, a couple of young quarterbacks looked about as good as you could possibly look. Bryce Young of Alabama, a school record. We're talking about Alabama here.
Dude, this was ridiculous.
559 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions for Bryce Young. He good, but he not eligible for the draft.
It wasn't horseshit on offense.
Till 2023. No, it was not.
Oh, he's taking bows.
It was not.
That LSU rumor, baby. That LSU rumor.
C.J. Stroud, Ohio State. A 49-0 lead at halftime. 32 of 35. 432 yards, 6 touchdowns. He good.
Yeah.
But he not eligible for the draft till 2023, which has a lot of Texans fans shaking their heads. Oh my gosh, this stinks. Every time we could possibly have a high draft pick, which by the way, kind of moved back a little bit. The quarterback is not there.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is actually a good thing for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Texans did win. And they're not going to have a draft pick at the very top, depending on what happens. But it looks like they're going to be in that 4, 5, 6 range or whatever. And they're probably going to try to get, they're probably going to get more draft equity with Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think despite the fact we are coming off a win, I think the Texans are in position to where there's a chance that if they did have the number one or number two overall pick, that Bryce Young or CJ Stroud would potentially say, no thank you to going to Houston, much like Elway did, much like Eli did, much like Jim Everett did, much like Bo Jackson did, much like a lot of guys who have leverage do at the top of the draft.
Right.
So I think that allows the Houston Texans, with a full draft for the first time in a long time, and hopefully some more draft equity because of Deshaun Watson, that allows the Texans to get their bleep in order, and it allows the Texans to, in 2023, set down the foundation and have some tangible progress with young players, maybe even better players, and put down a foundation to where a young quarterback not only would be more willing to get here and will be available, but would also be in a better position to succeed than he would be if you just added him to the roster right now. I actually think this is a good thing, John.
And I agree with you, and I'm assuming, you know, they know this, obviously. The Texans know that the quarterback crop outside of Corral at Ole Miss and maybe a couple of others here and there, I mean, who knows about, you know, well, who knows who's going to be the senior quarterbacks or quarterbacks available, but they're not going to rank high.
No.
This is an offensive line and defensive line, heavy, heavy, heavy first round. Everything I've seen. Obviously, we talk about Thibodeau a lot, but he's not alone. A lot of offensive linemen, a lot of defensive linemen. That's good. I mean, if they're drafting 4, 5, 6, very possible they could have they could draft the best offensive or defensive lineman on the board. And then there's the other part of it, which you're referencing there. They need to transition away from this coaching staff, away from Jack Easterby. Not going to happen, but you know, at least establish something that Nick Caserio can, you know, that players can sink their teeth in. That there are parts here that can help a quarterback.
Get your bleep together.
Yeah.
Make it a little bit better. Develop some sort of trust from the fan
base. They're going to move on from Tim Kelly, I believe.
Yes. Get yourself in better position to where you're ready to take on that quarterback.
Right.
And I think this is perfect. I think throwing a guy to the Wolves next year would be unfair to him, and I don't think that. And I think there's a chance that he would say no. So I think this is actually a good thing for Texans fans. I also think they're going to have some more draft equity once they get Deshaun Watson. Use those pieces in the coming draft to improve the talent. Hope that Nico Collins, guys like that, guys like Brevin Jordan, they can be some weapons for that next quarterback and get it going. I actually think this is a very, very good thing for the Texans. But I like these guys.
Oh, no question. But and then there's the other part of it. You know, let's say that you don't move on from David Culley. You want to stick him out one more year. You know, get your picks, start bringing guys in, and go from there. You don't want a quarterback changing head coaches and offensive systems twice in his first couple of years in the league. So that's why it's a better thing. I do agree with you. You know, I've always said just find the best player. Maybe they do have a franchise quarterback they fall in love with, Howell or whatever at North Carolina, or I mentioned Corral. Or I'm saying they could. But if they do, go ahead and draft him. Well, what I'm saying is the better philosophy, big picture, is you don't want the quarterback changing head coaches. The offensive coordinator, maybe they'll stick with Tim Kelly one more year. I doubt it. You don't want a young quarterback to go through that.
Here's the deal. I'm not trying to be Mr. Here's the Deal guy. But this is
what's the bottom line, Landry?
This is the bottom line. This is what people aren't talking about.
At the end of the day, Landry, what are you saying?
This is what nobody sees.
Mm-hmm.
If you draft one of these guys, like these fringe guys, like, say, the kid from Pittsburgh or Hal or Corral, I think they're immediately ruined by having Tim Kelly call plays.
Yeah.
I think they're immediately ruined by having Tim Kelly call plays. Unless you're going to have a Josh McDaniels who can do, and a Bill Belichick who can do what they've done with Mac Jones, I think you're setting them up for failure. I don't think Mac Jones I think maybe if you'd put him in San Francisco and put him in New England, he'd be able to do what he's doing right now. But if he came to the Houston Texans, I don't think it would be exactly what you see from Davis Mills, but I think it would be very similar. I don't think Tim Kelly's going anywhere either, and let me explain why.
Mm-hmm.
I think this offensive philosophy, when done right, can look good. Brian Daboll has a similar philosophy. He's from the same system-ish type of thing, New England, and so does Josh McDaniels. So I think Tim Kelly might actually be here just because he runs that same type of system. I'm with you that once it's a better quarterback, you want to get someone that's going to be able to max the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're going to they want the guys that are going to be playing with the quarterback in 2023 to be running this type of system, and maybe someone comes in that's a little bit brighter than Tim Kelly.
There is another factor that we've mentioned here and there that could come into play. Would you agree? I think you do. Josh McDaniels is going to be a head coach next year.
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Look at what the Patriots are doing. He's doing with Mac Jones.
I'm starting to wonder if he's just going to ride along.
That he's going to be the successor to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but I don't know how much. I mean, if Belichick has this, I don't know how much longer he's going to coach. Now, I heard Troy Aikman say, well, Bill Belichick has his quarterback for the next 15 years with Mac Jones. First of all, slow down there, Turbo. I mean, we're talking 15 years, so let's slow down there, Turbo. I like what Mac Jones has done, but let's not talk 15 years. Second of all, what is Bill Belichick going to be, 80 years old?
Maybe.
I mean, how old is Bill Belichick right now?
I don't know.
I mean, you're talking about it. He's got his quarterback for the next 15 years. What's he going to do?
Be like Dick Vermeil out there.
I mean, goodness gracious.
But I think he will. I think Josh McDaniels will be a head coach next year. That puts a fly in the ointment in all these plans because I think he is lockstep with Caserio, lockstep with Easterby, and they might just pull the trigger on everything outside of Lovie Smith, maybe even Lovie Smith, but on everything, and bring him in next year, in which case, what do you do at the quarterback position?
Landry Locker, John Lopez, telling you, don't worry about not having a franchise quarterback this year. 2023, the Texans will be in better position to get one of the guys you saw thrive this weekend. Alabama's Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State. 713-572-4610 to get in. Adrian, you're on Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on this one. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow, he gets drafted by a horrible offensive line over in Cincinnati, and he gets like a horrible injury right off the bat. Last game I was watching him yesterday, his knee looked like it was flaring up with some of that pain from his earlier injury from his rookie season. And then you look at Trevor Lawrence, there's no consistency over there. You know, you got a different receiver every week that looks like the top guy over there, and then he's struggling. So I completely agree with you guys on that. Draft some offensive linemen, draft some defensive linemen, get some consistency on either side of the ball, bring in a quarterback when you're ready.
There you go, Adrian, smart guy, agrees with us. Or dumb guy.
Smart because he agrees with you?
Depends who you ask. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, the process playing out, Texans get the dub yesterday in Nashville. David Culley, man, no game balls, huh? He goes to Tennessee, and all of a sudden he's basically cussing Frank Ross out, telling him, get your hands off me, Bia. And then he goes to the podium, and he's asked about a game ball, and this is what David Culley has to say when he's got his boots on the ground in his home state of Tennessee.
We didn't give out any game balls today. We ain't won enough ball games to get any game balls today. No game ball from me.
What is he, Dan Campbell,
that,
all of a sudden?
Fake hustle?
Yeah,
does he really believe that? Is that fake hustle, or does he just get in Tennessee and just become a hard ass?
I don't know. I was very surprised about this. For a guy who's so positive, hey, we're there, we're doing the right things. You know, these guys, this locker room, they haven't changed a bit. Man, just give him a little, throw him a game ball.
It's not his job to look at the gray area. Mm-hmm. Like you can look at the gray area. Fans can look at the gray area, and fans can say, well, you know, they lost, and now they're dead, they're fourth pick, all that. Like, you can say the type of stuff that blowhards like us say, but mm-hmm. It's not his job to do that. Get your game ball.
Yeah.
You're in Tennessee.
Exactly.
You're not going to win in Tennessee very often.
He's going to be in Tennessee one day. He's going to be in Tennessee one day in the not-so-distant future after, let's say, a 3-14 season and a whatever, 5-12 season. And he's going to go, dang it, I should have taken that game ball.
Oh, you had your friends there, man.
Should have done something.
Had your friends out there in Tennessee. You were doing your thing. Take the damn game ball, David. We'll hear from David at 1240. I got a feeling he's not going to sound like that. I think that's only a Tennessee thing. I think he's only got that kind of fire in Tennessee. I think we're going to get the more jovial David.
I was just
David
surprised
Culley.
By it. First of all, this team, for all their shortcomings, they deserved a really good day to be capped off with that acknowledgement, right? And I know they were acknowledged for how they played in the locker room, obviously, but they just deserve that little token, you know, that little token of appreciation. It was very surprising.
Is it a token or is it a card? I heard they stopped having tokens. Like, arcades don't have tokens anymore.
Yeah.
So would it have to be a card now?
I guess.
A little token?
Not a real ball. Oh, it's an NFT game ball.
Texans favored against the Jets, by the
three
way.
3 points.
I don't see it this week. You could feel me last week where I was saying I felt weird and I felt like something was going to happen. I don't feel it as much this week. I actually think the Jets with Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, by the way, looking good as a rookie receiver. I actually think the Jets are in better position. And I also think guys like Robert Saleh don't want to lose games to David Culley.
Right.
I'm not trying to.
And there's that connection too with, you know, him with the Texans when the job was open.
First year head coach. I don't think you want to lose to David Culley. I think Mike Vrabel can just charge it to the game and say my team was beat up. But I don't think that if you're Robert Saleh and you're in New York and you're dealing with all the crap that comes with coaching in New York, you don't want to lose to the dog-butted Texans because they'll jump on you like a trampoline in the post and the headlines and all that type of stuff.
And they've been doing some consistently good things. I mean, even Rex Ryan came around on that.
How about this? The Titans have lost to the Jets, and they have lost to the Texans.
Mm-hmm. That's a lack of not focus. I guess it's maybe a little bit.
I don't think there was anything they could do this
week. I think yesterday was just
perfect storm.
They were just, the turnovers, Tannehill looking bad, running game, you know, absent, all the receivers out, all the top receivers out. And they even, like I said, even Vrabel looking at him on the sideline, he just looked like exhausted. Like just he just couldn't go anymore.
Sometimes coaches can just kind of feel things like over the course of a long season, especially someone that battle tested, and it just felt like Mike Vrabel knew, okay, well, you know, this is either going to be an ugly win or this is just going to be one of those that we just lose. Man, it was raining. Everybody looked miserable, and he just looked, ugh. 713-572-4610 to get in. Charles, you're on Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
Hey, I saw a different mindset in the team yesterday. They came out with the mindset of taking no prisoners, not going to even be allow the officials to change their mindset, their attitude, and they played ball to win. Even at the fact that they did take away a touchdown from them, they didn't let that deter them.
There you go. So he thought the Texans looked like they were just wanted it more.
I don't think that's unfair.
They left it all out there.
Well, I mean, now you're just going down cliche alley.
They didn't let one mistake turn into six. They had the heart, the wherewithal. They realized the mental part of the game, not just the physical part of the game. There was nothing.
They wanted it more.
There was nothing more. I don't think there was anything more mindset. It was just a perfect storm. It was a beat up team versus a fresh team. And they just got them at the right time. I have not one time. Maybe mm-hmm. some people have. Mm-hmm. I've not one time questioned the effort of the Texans this year. I've questioned the results. I've questioned the ability to get results.
Yeah.
I've questioned maybe the position that players were put to succeed. I haven't questioned the effort of these guys.
No. I agree. They you got to give the defense a lot of credit because of what they did, just making the plays, no matter what was happening to get those plays. It really reminded me a lot of 2002 and the Steelers. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. I don't know if I was listening, but I didn't listen to everything because we were prepping for the show. I don't know how much they talked about that this morning with Seth, who was on the field that day.
The Texans went to Tennessee
mm-hmm.
with nothing but their football gear and some shovels. And with those shovels, they dug deep and got the win. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. An MVP in the AFC South. He coulda, woulda, shoulda been a Texan. The biggest Week 11 happenings in the gray area that I think we need to be focusing on next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
We've seen Ryan perform at a high level. Takes 11 guys, you know, and so there was a lot of good football out there. Unfortunately, we turned the football over way too many times. I felt like our defense battled, and our offense certainly was, you know, its own worst enemy.
That's Mike Vrabel, former Texans defensive coordinator, now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, who took the L to the Texans yesterday. Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light, Landry Locker, John Lopez. I don't want to say things have shifted in the AFC South because the Titans are still in first place and they're still the one seed in the AFC. But oh my goodness, do the Indianapolis Colts have some serious momentum. And they might have the leader in the clubhouse for MVP of the NFL, a guy who could have been a Houston Texan, wanted to be a Houston Texan. But he is in Indianapolis, he being Jonathan Taylor. 5 touchdowns yesterday. Third player in NFL history to have 150-plus yards and 5 touchdowns in the game. He joins Clinton Portis and Alvin Kamara. Carson Wentz threw for 106 yards, and the Colts still hung 41 on the road in Buffalo. They win 41-15, and they are feeling themselves. And with Derrick Henry out, Jonathan Taylor, I don't even think it's debatable, he's emerging as the best current running back in the NFL. And that might be shifting things in the AFC South. And it could be one of those teams to keep an eye on when it comes to the unpredictable, wild, wacky AFC as a whole?
Sometimes the answer is right in front of you. You just got to answer a couple of questions. Let me ask you and Figgy a couple of questions.
Yeah, these going to be leading questions, but go ahead.
No, they're not. Who's the best player in the NFL right now?
Jonathan Taylor.
I agree.
All right. Was that a good enough win over a playoff quality opponent?
Yeah, that was 41-15 assing.
Who's the healthiest team in the NFL right now in the, among AFC contenders?
Are we ready to call them a contender?
Well, they're in contention.
It might be Kansas City.
Kansas City is healthy. I think the Colts are right there as well. When you talk about balance offensively and defensively, are the Colts a playoff contender?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, they are playing right now. And this is the thing. And how long this season is, we talked about the Colts as one of those teams mm-hmm. to look out for. This is more what we thought they would be. And yes. We knew that their schedule was going to initially be tough. But yes, I don't know how many teams would like to play the Indianapolis Colts right now.
Yeah. Well, that leads to my final question, because it's right there in front of us. I believe the final question is, let me put it this way. Rank the best three teams in the AFC.
Right now?
Right now.
Kansas City, Baltimore.
Not record, playing, how they're playing.
No, Kansas
City. Yeah, I know, I'm just clarifying.
Kansas City, Baltimore, and Indy.
Yeah. It's right there in front of us. They're not in the playoffs right now. If the playoffs started today, they would not be in them. But I don't know if anybody can discount how good this team is playing and where they just might end up. It was dang impressive.
Playoff picture right now, the Titans would be the one seed. Then you would have Baltimore, New England, by the way, in sole possession of the AFC East, the New England Patriots. How about that? Chiefs, Bengals, Chargers. And the Bills would be the final seed in the postseason right now. So life does come at you fast. And the Colts are feeling themselves. This was Frank Reich after the game, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. By the way, Hard Knocks going to be lit this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you caught episode one, but episode two, it's going to be the game that we saw yesterday with Jonathan Taylor scoring his five touchdowns. This was Frank Reich. David Coley might not give out game balls, but Frank Reich dang sure does, and you already knew who was going to get one.
All right, fellas, hey, I know we got a long way to go, but oh, my goodness! Yeah! 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 You know I don't like to show too much emotion. When you guys play like that, oh, my goodness, in all three phases, it was complete domination in all three phases. But the man, okay, can we do this together? Had how many touchdowns? Can we do this together? Had one, two, three, four, five.
All right, so Jonathan Taylor goes up there. He gives a speech
mm-hmm.
as he's about to break it up. T.Y. Hilton interrupts him, and he wants to give a man who once played his football right there in Buffalo a game ball, his head coach, Frank Reich.
Hey, bring it up, everybody.
Shout out to the receiver. Wait.
We knew today was personal. We knew that. But for this man, it was even more personal. He always bring the juice. He got us ready. He got us prepared to kick that ass.
Yeah!
So this game ball is for our head coach.
There's no other group of men I'd rather be with. I gotta tell you, this is a special group of men. We've been saying it all year, and it's just starting to come together.
Yeah.
And as good as today was, we know what we got to do next week. The defending world champions, right? They got what we want. We're just getting started, man.
They started the year 1-4, and they are now 6-5. That's a squad right there that people are going to have to be watching all the way through, I think.
And they're feeling themselves. Look out for
Tampa Bay this week, by the way.
We got Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay right here tonight on Sports Radio 610, the Tampa Bay Bucks versus the New York Giants. You better try to get out of this one as smooth as possible, because you better buckle up that chin strap when you face them Colts. Them Colts are looking very, very good, and Tennessee Titans are hobbled. I actually heard Derrick Henry might be back for the playoffs. John McClain said as much. Mm-hmm. But that's what they're saying in the press box. I'll believe that.
Playoffs?
I'll believe that when I see it. But that's what John McClain is saying. Indianapolis feeling very, 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 very good about themselves. Other stuff that went on during Week 11, including a gray area. You might be the best, but you ain't as good as you think you are, Chiefs. We'll get into that. And Derek Jeter responds to Carlos Correa. The hits are lit on Reaction Monday next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Brought to you by workformetro.org. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
A legit win or not? Did the Texans have a legit win, or was that a fluky win that was handed to them? That's the question. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say about it yesterday, when he met with the media types, including John McClain, who's a big deal in Tennessee, if you haven't heard.
We've seen Ryan perform at a high level. Takes 11 guys, you know, and so there was a lot of good football out there. Unfortunately, we turned the football over way too many times. I felt like our defense battled, and our offense certainly was, you know, its own worst enemy.
Okay.
Well, it was.
That didn't sound like an excuse to me.
No.
But let's hear how the quarterback feels about it. The Texas A&M Aggie. Lifelong Aggie.
You put some respect the way you put that.
After yesterday, he's lucky I'm even acknowledging him by name.
Okay.
Here's Ryan Tannehill being asked about those injuries. Over 80 players have already played for the Titans. They're two away from a record. Hey, Ryan, you look like doo-doo out there yesterday. You were without your three top receivers. You were without your running back. Is that make it a lot more difficult to get wins even against the one-win Houston Texans?
Well, obviously it hurts, you know. You want to have your guys out there that you're used to playing with and you got reps with, but that's where we're at right now in the season. You know, it's been a tough season for us injury-wise. Guys have stepped up and took advantage of some opportunities, and there's some things we still have to work through. I mean, hopefully we can get our guys back, and then the guys that are just starting to get reps, so we can get more reps with them.
All right.
Was that an excuse? Kind of, right? It was,
I mean,
like he talked around it.
It's
yeah.
a fact.
Yeah.
The NFL's weird, because I don't know if there's like a do they play dumb on purpose sometimes?
What do you mean?
Like when national media types like break down games, do they just play dumb on purpose? Because I think when you're missing your top three receivers, you're missing Derrick Henry, you're missing Bud Dupree, it's weird for someone who follows the league closer than anyone that knows this to go up there and say, well, that's a tough loss to the Houston Texans right there. I don't know how that happens. Texans are coming off a bye. They're beat up. It's weird to say that, and I thought it was even weirder yesterday. The team that maybe had the biggest win of the weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs. Do people realize, like, what the Dallas Cowboys didn't have when they faced the Chiefs? Because I keep hearing about this Kansas City defense, and Kansas City has a win streak, and I get it. Look, I think Kansas City's really good. But I don't think their defense is that good. And I keep hearing like, oh, well, look at how the Chiefs did.
What was y'all saying earlier in the year?
When Chris Jones and Frank Clark are healthy, this defense is much different. Okay, that's fine. But let's look at the wins that they've had. They faced the Green Bay Packers after Aaron Rodgers got COVID. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love was making his first start. They faced the New York Giants with Daniel Jones.
Yep.
He stinks. They faced the Oakland Raiders weeks after their coach got fired. Henry Ruggs got arrested. And they had other stuff happen. The Raiders. They faced the Dallas Cowboys without the best left tackle in the NFL, without DeMarcus Lawrence, without Randy Gregory, without Amari Cooper. That's 50 $5 million in cap space. That's almost half of their cap. And CeeDee Lamb hit his head and got hurt at the end of the first half. Final play of the first half. Yet I'm seeing all these media types go up there. And look, two things can be true. Kansas City, we've known Kansas City's been good for a long time. There's a reason they've been to back-to-back Super Bowls. But I'm hearing people say, Kansas City's defense has figured it out. Nah, they face the bleep show Raiders. They face the Packers without Jordan Love. And they face the Cowboys without two of their top... Oh, yeah, Zeke Elliott also banged up his knee yesterday. Like, what am I missing? Like, are people just playing dumb and ignoring the gray area here?
I don't think they are. I think, you know, they're trying to give credit to a defense that no matter who it's faced has clearly turned, you know, has improved. Now, I get your point. It's not as if there weren't other factors involved. But you go four straight games in the NFL and you're giving up fewer than 20 points in a game in each of those four games, you're doing something right. You know, Spagnuolo has made this defense better. Are they as great as some people might be saying? Probably not, based on what you're just saying. But this is a much better team. And by the way, this defense didn't have to get a whole lot better for the team to get a lot better.
Yeah.
And you know, because of what they have offensively.
I'm just saying, like, the problems that Kansas City had, and I know Chris Jones adds a whole new element, but the
problem. What, he had 3.5 sacks?
Yeah, he had 3.5 sacks. Man. The problems that Kansas City has, they're not gone. And if you look at the gray area of the city, they've caught, like, I think the Texans caught a perfect storm in Tennessee yesterday. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, as good as we already know they are, I think they've caught in three of those in the last few weeks, which doesn't take away. Again, you
put four straight games under 20 points. That's something.
I think the Texans could hold the Packers under 20 with Jordan Love.
Well, I don't know about that.
I would like to see it.
Yeah.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Let's go around the NFL. Texans 22, Titans 13. We'll get more into that in the noon hour here from David Culley. Indianapolis 41, the Bills 15. Carson Wentz, 106 yards passing, but you still hang 41. Jonathan Taylor, though, with 5 touchdowns. Indianapolis right now. Contender in the AFC or just contender to get in the postseason? Are they a contender in the top tier or are they a contender in that second to middle tier?
Well, I think they're a contender for the duration. You know, they're going to get to the playoffs. They're not in there just yet, but they're going to get to the playoffs. But they have all the elements you need to advance with the defense, with the running game, quarterback knowing his role, and a head coach. You know, the Indianapolis Colts are kind of what the Texans aspire to be. They have a very, very faithful general manager in Chris Beard, very, very faithful head coach in Frank Reich, but they mix that with the ability to mesh with all kinds of different players. Now, and they have the defense set up, the offensive line, they got their running game. They're playing really, really well, and I think they're in it for the duration.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you going around the NFL. Jacksonville bullied by San Francisco. 49ers 30, Jags 10. San Francisco starting to find that groove as well. They scored on their first 5 possessions. They're now 500.
Mm-hmm.
5-5. Kyle Shanahan starting to figure out what stirs the drink. Run the rock. Baltimore 16, the Bears 13. No Lamar Jackson. Snoop Tyler Huntley gets the start. Baltimore down 13-9 with under 2 minutes remaining after two Texans connect, Andy Dalton to Marquise Goodwin. However, Baltimore ends up scoring. Huntley finds Sammy Watkins. Then you have Devontae Freeman run it in. And I like this young man, Mr. Huntley. Tyler Huntley, the backup for Lamar Jackson. I like seeing when young men get opportunities and they just have that certain innocence after the game. This was Tyler Huntley on CBS talking about when he knew he would be starting for Lamar Jackson.
When did you learn you were starting, Tyler?
Shoot, this morning when I was walking to the bus, LJ texted me. He said, go do your thing, man. And I said, all right, I got you, family. And that's it.
Who's your first phone call going to be?
Oh, my mama and my daddy, you know it.
What are you going to tell them?
I just tell them thank you for getting me up.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Y'all have a great one.
Good for him.
Family.
Good for the young man right there.
Undrafted.
Yeah. Snoop Huntley, baby.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback.
How about that?
Stay tuned. He's not the only backup quarterback who won.
Okay.
You already know who did.
I think I do.
Lions 10, the Browns 13. Baker Mayfield not available to the media after. He's in a lot of pain.
He's a mess, too. A
lot of pain. Tim Boyle starts for Jared Goff, but the Browns get the dub. After the game, Baker Mayfield's wifey, she shares an Instagram post in which a Browns fan basically says the rest of the team should have as much heart as Baker Mayfield.
Well, he has shown a lot of heart. He's a mess right now, but physically and mentally.
Yeah, he's eat up, but wifey probably shouldn't have pressed send on that. She did delete it later on. It was a share. It was not original, so don't at me, all you Gen Zers out there that want to make it clear what the difference is on that. Packers 31, Vikings 34, Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes, 385 yards passing. Not enough. The Vikings improved to 5-5 as well. They have 5 losses. So they're 5-5, the Vikings. They have 5 losses by a total of 18 points. Vikings are a dangerous, dangerous team. And this is what happens when you trade a franchise receiver like they did in Stephon Diggs, and you actually get draft equity that can improve your team. You get a Justin Jefferson who has...
How's he doing?
By the way, he has 11 100-yard receiving games through 2 years.
That's crazy.
And he still has a little bit left. That's how many Randy Moss had, by the way, in his first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
I think he was pretty good. Justin Jefferson doing his thing. Vikings 5-5. Can I interest you in a stat? This is a crazy stat.
Hit me.
So Mike Zimmer, since he's been the coach for the Minnesota Vikings, 7-6-1. Against Aaron Rodgers. The rest of the division, 6-21.
Isn't that something? I saw that come across my timeline.
Numbers are hot.
Shout out to Mike Tirico for that stat.
But this is actually one of the reasons I've tried to really, you know, see what the Vikings are all about. Saw the game yesterday. I just can't buy in completely,
man. I think they're damn good.
They're really good. No, I'm not questioning that, but... It's like...
I think they're dangerous.
It's hard to buy in because of that stat that you just shared.
5 losses by 18 points. That's interesting. Dolphins 24. The Jets, Texans' opponent this week. They're actually favored against 17. Miami, third straight win after a 1-8 start. Jets have lost 10 straight division games.
Man. And the Jets, I think they've become my new Lions of the season. When we were talking about the Lions, they're playing hard. They're going to get better. They're going to win. I think the Jets keep getting close and showing some stuff, but they're just not getting it done yet.
Saints 29, Eagles 40. Nick Sirianni, we heard him talk about the fertilizer before the Eagles went on this streak. This is what that sounded like.
I put a picture of a flower up, right, and it's coming through the ground. And the only way the roots grow out every single day and they grow stronger and they grow better is if we all keep doing what we're doing, keep watering, and look at yourself first and know if are you watering and are you fertilizing every day. So when it's time to pop, it'll pop.
By the way, all you laughing out there, they've won 2 straight since the fertilizer comment. Their next games, they're up to 5-6. They got the Giants, Jets, Washington football team, Giants, Washington football team. Eagles,
they're
I don't want to call
place.
It a run.
They're in a place.
Nick Sirianni looking pretty good. Kevin Hart, by the way, where the hell has he been?
Yeah.
I felt like I couldn't turn off the TV or turn on the TV without seeing him. All of a sudden, he's back. He must have like 9 movies coming out or something like that. This was Kevin Hart. A proud Philadelphia native responding to Nick Sirianni on ESPN and the fertilizer comment.
Listen, edibles are dangerous. You get to messing with that stuff. It get a hold of you. No, listen, that's a casual spiral. It's one of those things where you start out, you got a good thought in your head, but you get lost in it. But he got lost in a metaphor. It got too deep. He couldn't get out. When that happens next time, you just smack something and look up and say, but at the end of the day, we're going to get the job done. And then you leave it alone.
He just described that perfectly. You could tell, and if you watch the video with Sirianni, like the wheels start turning. All right, how am I going to develop this metaphor about a flower? And Kevin Hart, I mean, right on target there.
Very, very funny. Yeah. Skins 27, the Panthers 21. Taylor Heinicke, 3 touchdowns on 16 of 22. He outdoes Cam Newton in his return home, who played pretty well himself. 3 total touchdowns, 21 of 27.
Skins.
Oh, I see.
Man, come on, man.
Oh, my bad. Man. Washington football
about to get
team.
Us canceled.
What's going Lord. On? Bengals 32, the Raiders 13. Joe freaking Mixon, two touchdowns on 123 yards. Derek Carr, fed up.
He's had enough, and
fed
he's not going to take it anymore.
With the way things are going for the Raiders.
I've been a Raider fan for a long time. You know, 20 years of this crap is enough. I'm fed up. I just want to be a part of the moment it changes. I want that so bad. That's what keeps driving me. You know, I get pissed off and I get upset and I stand up here and I've done this way too many times than I'd like to do it. You know, because in my heart, the men in our room, the way we work, the way we go after things, it shouldn't always end like this crap. We have another one in just a few days against a really good football team. So if we don't want to stand up here and have to do this again, we better get it right.
Man. Man, oh man, they are just off the rails there.
Nope. You know, every team that played on that's playing on Thanksgiving lost.
Every team that's coming up to Thanksgiving?
Every team that plays Thursday, Thanksgiving, lost.
Cowboys, Lions, Bears.
Cowboys, Lions, Bears, oh my. Raiders.
Raiders.
Bills.
Oh yeah?
Yep. Steelers, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone lost.
I felt bad for Cam. I didn't have a stake in that game, but in the Washington Carolina game, because his first touchdown was remarkable. It was a great classic Cam touchdown. And then he had the celebration. Did you see the celebration? He went out to midfield right where the Panthers logo was and put the ball down and arms out like the game was over. But the game was not over, and he didn't get that win. But that was fun to watch that first touchdown.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Cowboys 9, Chiefs 19. $60 million in players out for the Cowboys. Mari Cooper out, Tyron Smith out, Tank Lawrence, Randy Gregory out. CeeDee Lamb also left with an injury. Chris Jones, though, 3.5 sacks. My goodness. Good performance by the Chiefs. Still probably the best team in the AFC, but, man, they've caught some breaks. Jordan Love for the Packers. The Raiders when they caught them and the Cowboys. I don't think that can really just be disputed. But again, you can be the best and you can get breaks. That's probably the best combo. Breaks, best, means you get hot at the right time, which is where Kansas City is. Micah Parsons, rookie for the Cowboys.
He had a day.
4 tackles, 3 sacks, and a forced fumble. He has tied DeMarcus Ware's rookie record with 8 sacks this season, and they have 7 games remaining. He's a linebacker that they kind of are using as an edge rusher because they had some guys out. Mm-hmm. Still have DeMarcus Lawrence out, Tank Lawrence. They have him out. He might be able to catch. This would be a hard feat. Javon Curse's rookie NFL record of 14.5 sacks. He needs 6.5 to catch that. That, the way that they've used, not just the fact that they were willing to let the game come to them, and they took Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they've used Micah Parsons, pretty impressive.
He's been absolutely incredible. I mean, just absolutely incredible all year long.
Cardinals 23, Seahawks 13. Colt McCoy, backup. 35 of 44, 328 yards, 2 touchdowns. The second time he's gone on the road in as many seasons in one in Seattle.
Who has the best record in the NFL?
That would be the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals, 9-2, man.
2 of those wins with Colt McCoy.
By the way, 3 of their next games against the Seahawks, Bears, and Lions. They're going to just walk their way to 12 wins. They're right in the thick of having home field throughout.
Patriots 25, Falcons 10. Patriots, I got to give Andre Ware some credit. I kind of rolled my eyes when he was talking about, you know, New England being in the mix in the AFC East when they were facing the Texans. I just couldn't see that vision. Andre saw the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Andre was correct because the Patriots don't look now. They're in first place alone in the AFC East. Steelers 37, the Chargers 41. Chargers were up by 17, and then this game just got really, really wild. Justin Herbert, 30 of 41, 382, 3 touchdowns. Big Ben, 3 touchdowns of his own. Austin Eckler, though, 4 touchdowns, and he was asked after the game if he was trying to keep up with Jonathan Taylor's 5 touchdowns for the Colts.
Are you trying to keep up with Jonathan Taylor?
I know I was, actually. I was. One of my guys like, hey, you need one more to keep up with JT. So shout out to JT for killing it today. But yeah, you know, it was just my day. I was finding the end zone, and so that's what it takes, right? We never know who's going to be. We got a lot of playmakers, and it ended up being me four times a day. So I'll take it. I know my fantasy owners are happy as well.
Yes, we are. I'm looking at one right now.
Yes, we are.
What a wild week 11 capped off tonight right here on Sports Radio 610. We heard Carlos Correa question Derek Jeter's gold gloves last week. Derek Jeter has responded. This is what he had to say about the soon-to-be former shortstop of the Houston Astros.
Carlos Correa of the Astros had mentioned that you weren't deserving of your gold gloves.
Yeah.
I was wondering what you thought about that. And you know,
I didn't think much about it. I don't know how my name came up. So my Spanish is not that good. I still haven't seen it. I don't know how my name was brought up, but it doesn't even warrant a response. I mean, I can go in a lot of different directions, but I won't.
Derek Jeter not happy.
Not happy.
There are some people saying that Carlos Correa actually stated a very good case if you look at the numbers.
Yeah, he's a nerd. Of course he is. Carlos Correa is all about those baseball stats. Hits are lit here on Sports Radio.
Numbers are hot.
By the way, Buster Olney said Jim Crane is trying to – the report was like Astros owner Jim Crane is going to try to compete in the coming years in that –
Hey, he is? Is like, that news?
Were they going to, like, pull a Florida Marlins and blow it up early 90s? What the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, they're going to – the team that has won – been to five straight ALCSs is going to try to keep doing that.
What the hell are you talking about? Breaking news. Crane was going to go cheap or something like that. What are you talking about, Buster? Hits are lit here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up, David Culley. Of all the times not to be oh golly gee – why did you go hardo when you went to Tennessee? Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.